Hello, Alaskans, and you of the great Pacific Northwest. This is Al Bramstead speaking to you from station KENI, Anchorage, Alaska. Tomorrow, the 18th day of October, is something special to Alaskans everywhere, outside and in the territory. In commemorating the anniversary of the purchase of Alaska from Russia in 1867, I would like to read for you one of the finest narrative poems on the subject of our great territory. It was written here in Anchorage during the war by a young man who was stationed in the Alaska communication system, and Herb Smith called it The Song of the Long Night. And weaving the background is Eskimo organist Simeon Oliver. This is the tale of Alaska, the great land, the mainland. The Indians called it Aliaxa, and it meant great land, for Alaska is big. It's as big as all outdoors, and bigger. It tucks majestic Mount McKinley away almost as easily as you'd hide a marble in a sand pile. A million acres of unexplored glacier lie in Alaska. That's how big it is. It's so big that even Joe Crossan's seven-league boots, his airplane, finds loneliness and danger in traveling over it. It can never be conquered. Men may find haven in the ready friendship of Alaska's towns. They may find wealth in its great industry, its timber, its fur, its fish, its gold. But they will never find conquest in Alaska. They cannot find conquest because they cannot learn how to stop the Willowas or when the ice will break up in the river. The Russians tried vainly to cross the sea to Alaska by dog team, but they met only failure. Alaska was not to be conquered. It lay mysterious and fabulous, a land that might contain everything man could desire. It lay in mystery, and only the long winter night could understand. Only the voice of the night could tell. The long night sings of shifting snows, of pure, clean air, of life and strength. It sings a song of majesty, of stormy seas, aurora lights, of tundra wastes. It sings of cold white mountains. It sings of man and his innermost soul. The long night sings of God. In 1741, the Russians began their voyage. They came down on the icy wind, and many were slain in the effort, and many long nights have kept them. 4 years later, the slopes and beaches of Attu became the home of a stranger. He was Michael Novitaskoff, the first fur trader of Attu. When only the Aleut traded with furs, and the Tlingit still worshipped his ancestral totem, little the blood spilled then in Alaska. But the mystery and promise of the land was carried out to the world, and Russia sent Golovnin, von Kotzebue, Malakoff, Zagoskin, Etolin. The English sent Cook, Vancouver, Portlock, Dixon, and Mears. The Spanish sent men like Bodega Cuadra, De Fonte, and Juan de Fuca. And France sent La Perouse. They came to explore and to conquer. But Alaska can never be conquered. Yet there are some who have heard the long night singing. Jack London heard, and he sang it back so that others could hear. Robert Service heard it too, and repeated the song to the world. Then gold was discovered. Gold in the Kuskokwim, and gold in the Stikeen River. The song of the night rose in crescendo. Blood on the snow, blood in the rivers, blood shed by those who would conquer. In 1867, the United States bought Alaska, bought Seward's Folly, and called it Uncle Sam's Attic. Alaska belonged to the United States. The conquerors came for the gold in the Klondike, gold discovered by Robert Henderson, Skookum Jim, Taggish Charlie. Men like these discovered the gold, and its lure in the roaring Klondike was a symbol of hate and lawlessness, symbol of riches and easy living. And about the Klondike rose a thousand myths and legends. Blood on the snow, blood in the rivers, blood shed by those who would conquer. But Alaska can never be conquered. Like Buck Choquette, an old man then, who had seen three gold rushes before, and Soapy Smith, the frontier gangster of Skagway, who was killed in a gunfight, his legend has traveled and grown. And Scotty Allen with his famous dog teams, and Robert Service, Jack London, Rex Beach, they learned of Alaska in the Klondike. They learned so they could tell Alaska's story, and Alaska repaid them many times. Yes, Alaska is kind to its people, to those who can hear. The long night sings of pure, clean air, of life and strength. It sings a song of majesty. The long night sings of God. Profit and industry came to Alaska. Better built houses, more comforts for homes, more beautiful things for those who loved beauty. It came from the wealth of Alaska. For the long night sings of man and his innermost soul. The long night sings of God. And great is the beauty that's free in Alaska. Velvet mountains tumble up out of a pastel sea to meet the sky and lend it color till the night arrives. Magic islands lie peacefully, awaiting the pleasure of the elements. A great brown bear strolls awkwardly along a beach. Then soon, the night arrives. Thundering up from the great black dome of the north, an awesome fairyland of color arises. It shoots and darts, changes, flows, and ripples across the sky. A giant, neon-painted Ferris wheel, run by the mysterious gods of the Arctic wastes. Or perhaps some ancient god of drama has built a vast proscenium beneath whose gaudy arch that deep, black cavern holds some moving drama yet untold. And to this mighty spectacle, the long night lends its glorious refrain. Her rivers and railways carried fabulous cargoes down to the ocean, where ships sailed out to Seattle and Portland, to Boston, to Liverpool, Vladivostok, Bangkok, Shanghai, Darwin. Then the whole world learned of Alaska. And off in the east, a crowded world of little brown men began to hear of Alaska. And through the years, as Alaska grew, as its people grew, learning friendship and how to be neighbors, the prospector, fisherman, lumberman, trapper, sailor, merchant, engineer, farmer, teacher, homemaker, as men and women of this great land that the Indians had called Aliaksa, began to know comforts and happiness as they listened to the long night singing. Then suddenly, out of the stillness of the Arctic Sea, tragedy struck at Alaska. Planes of the enemy swarmed and dived. They dropped their cargoes, and when they had gone, Dutch Harbor lay beaten and battered. Then the long night screamed in its terror. Blood on the snow, blood in the rivers, blood shed by those who would conquer. And the wind that drifted over the muskeg swamps and whispered among the spruce, and the high wind that whistled and wailed across the tundra, the wind that whipped the gray-green waves, was a cry of determination. Alaska can never be conquered. Guns and equipment were shipped by the thousands of tons, and our boys went out on the chain, lived on barren islands, and swept those islands clean. They cleaned them of rats and monkeys. The song of the long night rang with triumph. The faith of the pioneers had not been broken. The future lies eager and full for the great land. And when the insane world finds peace again, mankind shall hear the long night's song. For the long night sings of shifting snows, of pure clean air, of life and strength. It sings a song of majesty, of stormy seas, aurora lights, of tundra wastes. It sings of cold white mountains. It sings of man and his innermost soul. The long night sings of God. You've listened to the song of the long night by Herb Smith, which we've brought to you at this time, mindful that tomorrow, October 18th, is Alaska Day, the anniversary of the purchase of the territory of Alaska from Russia. The accompaniment has been played by Eskimo organist Simeon Oliver, and the reading was by Al Bramstead, speaking from KENI, Anchorage, Alaska. And we close with a wish for the best for our Alaskan friends everywhere.